in life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Come on, if you believe it this morning, shout it out.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
Thank you, God, for loving us the way that you do. Truly, there's no greater name in heaven or on earth than the name of Jesus. And so
So God, we thank you for this moment of worship through song and prayer. And in just a moment, when Sonata comes to share with us this morning the goodness of who you are, we pray, God, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. That it's not just a report from the mission field, but it's about you being a good, good father. So we just say thank you, God. In Christ's name, and the church said,
so as I just spoke, we're going to go ahead and invite Sonata to come forward this morning. And again, I want each of our hearts to realize and to remember that this isn't just a report from the mission field. This is about the good work of the Father. And so she's going to not only be sharing with us her experience in the field, but her experience of the presence of God in the field, and how God not only works in Moorhead, Kentucky, but all across the globe. So would you make welcome Sonata, this morning, Sonata, as she brings her.
Don't you love it when the Holy Spirit just takes over the service? A few minutes before the service, I didn't know which readings of Scripture they were going to give me, the praise and worship team. It was exactly what I'm preaching about today. It's about grace. And there couldn't have been a better combination of all the music that we heard. Those songs that we heard this morning couldn't have been more perfectly arranged. So I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit that he takes over whatever this message that I want to share with you today. I'd like us to put you in the Word first. So I'd like to start off with Mark 8, verses 13 through 21. So I want to give you the context first. He had just finished feeding 4,000 people. Prior to that, another 5,000 people. So see if you can identify with being one of the disciples in the boat through this reading. Then they left them, got on board the boat again, and went to the other side. They had forgotten to take bread and had only one loaf with them in the boat. Then he commanded them, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They were discussing among themselves that they did not have any bread. Or in other words, they were whining. They were whining. Aware of this, he told them, "Why are you discussing that you do not have any bread? Do you not yet understand or comprehend? Is your heart hardened? Do you have eyes and not see? Do you have ears and not hear? And do you not remember?" 5,000, 4,000. "When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of pieces of bread did you collect?" 12, they told him. "When I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of pieces of bread did you collect?" 7, they said. And he said to them, "Don't you understand yet?" Okay, so I think we could all probably identify with those disciples. How we fret, how we're anxious about things after he's just done something wonderful in our lives. How quickly we forget that. And as a church body, as we're learning to be encouragers to each other, I also want to invite us that we begin to help each other. Remember, don't you remember what he did for you a few months ago? Because how quickly we forget that. We need each other to keep that present every day, every day. And so what can we learn from this scripture? All right, first of all, some of the things that you might, we sense anxiety, right? We sense worry in the disciples. They only had one loaf of bread. Okay, so we sense a lack of faith, a lack of trust, and a mentality of poverty and scarcity. Okay, we often have to confess that in our lives. That mentality of poverty, when we have a good, good father who loves to provide for his children. So we forget his daily and sufficient grace. There's even a song about that. The daily sufficient grace. We forget that. We forget about his bountiful provision. So Jesus in this passage addresses their dulled spiritual senses. In every service, before we begin the service, our pastor talks that our eyes be enlightened, that our hearts, that our heart, he prays for our spiritual senses to be open. Okay, in the Old Testament, forgetfulness is addressed. I want to just read quickly from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy addresses the ways that we might have to put in place to remember. Okay, so this is about the greatest commandment. I'm going to just read it quickly. Love the Lord your God with your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Okay, you're supposed to remember this. They're to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Let them be a symbol on your forehead. And write it across your forehead, for heaven's sakes, so you don't forget the goodness of God. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So he's telling us, he's bidding us to remember his goodness, to remember the miraculous things that he's done for us. Okay, in Proverbs 3 also talks about remembering. In Proverbs 3, let me quickly read this. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Now we're even tying them around our neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Okay, so it's talking about remembering. Remember this stuff. Okay, so how quickly as humans do we forget this? How quickly. So we do need each other. So even when we break apart to pray for each other, encourage each other, that's also a good time to begin to help us to remember. Hey, don't you remember this? What happened to you? And so in the New Testament, under a new covenant, we also have a bidding to remember, right? Do this in remembrance of me. He keeps telling us. He keeps showing us that we have to remember what he's done. And we do need each other. And so he gave us visible, tactile things to remember what he did for us in the bread and the wine, right? Visible things. Sometimes we need tactile, visible things to help us remember things, like a memory stone. And our first song talked about senses, right? I sense, I see, I hear. Okay, so we're to awaken our spiritual senses. And so first of all, I have to admit to you that I was very anxious before this November event. I was very anxious. It was 70 people. It was 34 women, their pastors, the pastor's wife, and my team. It was 70 people to find hospitality for feed for a few days. And I was one of his disciples fretting about the one loaf of bread. Okay, so this is where we need each other. On other mission trips, because I'm about 6 days out of going back into mission today. On other mission trips when I was worried about having enough for what I felt I needed to do, it was Jeff that reminded me of something. At that time, probably last year, I had some physical illnesses and I had a stack of medical bills, feeling overwhelmed like I was drowning in that. And so when I called the hospital to see if I could get on some kind of payment plan, the woman asked me to read off each account because each bill has an account number. And as I read off the account number, because I had it in front of me, how many thousands of dollars it was going to be, as I read off the account number, she came back with me, well, that's zero balance. I said, well, you must be some mistake. So I put it aside, read the next one out, zero balance. And she kept going through that whole stack of bills. God had completely erased my medical bills. I don't know how. But it was Jeff. It was him. It was Jeff that reminded me. He reminded me of that. And so that's why we need each other to remind us. Okay, I presented to you the need, and you all responded as a church by having that Mexican meal for me a few months ago. Remember that? It took in more money, I think, than any other luncheon that we've had for other things. Right, Ann? It took on more money. You all raised $1,084 at a luncheon selling Mexican meals. How generous you were as a body to me. Okay, so I want you to remember that number, 1,084, for what God did. Okay, because this isn't just a mission report. It's to tell us how God has, what great things he's done for us as a church. Okay, so I'd like to show you a couple slides because to remember things, we need visual things. We need auditory things. We need tactile things. We need to taste and experience the goodness of God. Okay, so I'd like to start. First of all, this is a shot from the hotel. A few months prior to making this trip, I went with some pastors looking for a place to put up 70 people. In this little ocean village, there were very few choices. Either they had been booked in ahead, and it caused a great deal of stress on my part. Where are we going to put up these people? The only place was the most luxurious hotel you can imagine. 5 stories with this magnificent view of the ocean, way beyond the budget that I had calculated. Way, way beyond. But we took a step of faith and booked it. Just a step of faith. I was calculating that this trip, this whole thing, feeding 70 people, wasn't 5,000, it was 70, feeding 70 people, putting them up for the night, having a place of refuge and peace for the pastors and their wives and the difficult work that they do, was going to cost about $7,000. All right, I had $1,084. Okay, so a little bit short of what I needed. But this is the view from the hotel. Now, these women that were invited come from grindingly poor lives. And even though they may only live an hour and a half from the ocean, they had never been to the ocean in their life. And so what a wonderful gift to be able to, for them to see the ocean. You all remember what it was like the first time seeing the ocean in your life? How wonderful that was? Well, that's how it was. And I will never forget this. This is something that just kind of got etched in my ears. The sound of the giggles of the women as I went on an elevator for the first time. I could hear them from the ground floor up to the 5th floor giggling and with joy. It was just really wonderful. Okay, so this was the slide, this next one. All right, this was the team, part of my mission team, that translated some of the letters, the passages, the dear things that you wrote in the backpacks. That all had to be translated. And so this is the team working on those translating so I could connect you all to different churches there. Okay, so they worked very hard on that one. Next one. This was the room. Okay, the night before, we asked the hotel manager if we could come a day ahead, the night before, to set up. So he was fine with that. Now, I have to tell you, when we made this reservation several months prior and took this leap of faith to this real expensive place, there was something extraordinary happened. And if this isn't the working of the Holy Spirit, I don't know what it was. But the hotel had been suffering economically. They were laying people off. There just wasn't enough business. Right after we booked, 4 other bookings followed. Right within days, 4 other bookings. So right away, even though the owner was not Christian, he began to pay attention to this. Wow, what's happening here? Okay, so the room that we had rented didn't have any windows. It was very small. It was maybe a third of the size of this room to fit 70-some people. and we were going to have to pay for a projector. So when we went that day, they led us to this ballroom. It had a projector already set up. The tables were all ready for us with linen tablecloths. It was one of the most beautiful rooms, like God's great dance hall. That's what it was. And there wasn't any kind of wall. It was just all glass. It was just beautiful ocean that we could see. And that was given to us. Okay, he changed rooms, this owner. Okay, so this is just a quick shot. The tables were just so beautifully arranged. There was things for us to drink that wasn't part of the bill. And you can see the backpacks. See the backpacks that some of you took home? There they were. They got where they needed to go. Okay. All right, so the women got to sit at tables and share together their stories. These are very brave women. And so the woman I want you to notice here is the one closest to us on the left with the red shirt. Her name is Juana. And a few months ago, a pastor and his deacon asked me if I would climb this mountain to visit this woman. She and her sister had brought the word of God into one of the darkest, most dangerous places in southern Mexico. Well, I was kind of curious. My goodness, yes, I want to meet this woman. She's a praise and worship leader. She has a beautiful, beautiful voice. And so we climbed the mountain just to give her words of encouragement when her family met us and said, no, she's been so sick. She's been in the bed in a dark room for 6 months. For 6 months. She doesn't want to eat. She doesn't want to be around anybody. Okay, now the pastor and the deacon didn't know that my field is in mental health, nor did I know what I was going to run into. But when I went into her dark room with the pastor immediately began to talk and preach the word of God that carries such life about Lazarus and taking the binders off. At that moment, she leapt out of bed. Leapt. I'd never seen anything like it. She leapt out of bed. Now, she had been in 2 psychiatric hospitals. She had been on a lot of psychiatric medication. Her eyes were really dulled. She was really medicated, over-medicated. And they weren't bringing me there for that reason, but the word of God, she shot out of bed. So still kind of under the influence of medications, I said, okay, sweetie, just look at me and open that pretty mouth and begin to sing praise and worship. Well, she did, and her family did. Okay, so this woman, there was a lot of people that meant her harm. She lives in an area very, very thick with witchcraft and occult things, very dangerous place. In 2 weeks, I'm going to go with Juana to her community, and I've been asked to share the word of God, and I surely do need your prayer coverage. It's a very dark place. But that's the caliber of women that you all prayed for, that you all supported, and I thank you. And so that's Juana, and you'll hear just a little bit more about her in just a minute. Next slide. All right, the man kind of bending over with glasses and a beard, that's the owner of this hotel. He could sense something extraordinary happened. First of all, these are Indian women. Indian women generally have very poor economy. They would never stay in a luxury hotel like this. So something very unusual. He began to serve them. He began to wait on them, the tables, which was really unusual. And he began to sense, I think, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so next slide. Again, some of my dearest friends in some of the villages that I work in, Gregoria, I'm working very closely with her, and how God has just activated her as a result of this conference. I'll talk about that in just a minute. Okay, I'm going to stop here and add a little bit more to this. When it came time to get the bill on the last day, my knees were a little wobbly. I had already calculated, when I get back to Kentucky, I'm going to work another 6 months. I'll take on a few extra jobs to pay this big bill, but I'll get it taken care of. I surely was one of those disciples in the boat, fretting about the bread. And so I confess that to you. I did. And so I asked my team, okay, give me a chair. I'm going to need to sit down to get this bill. Okay, when I had calculated, in Mexican pesos was a bill of 176,000 pesos. roughly around $7,000. Okay, so when I got the bill, it was 746 pesos, roughly 700 bucks. 700 bucks went from 7,000 to 700 bucks. The owner wrote off the bill. Just the extreme, the cost of the food is the only thing. We had free habitation, free rooms, free projector, free rental of the place. That's God's goodness. That's God's goodness. Okay, that's Him doing that. Okay, so what did I get from you all? $1,084. What was the bill? $700. I came back home to Moorhead, debt-free, paid for everything. And so praise God. You need to hear stories like this. Okay. I want to show you the result in what this picture is here, how God has used this conference. I'm going back in just a few days again to visit the communities to see the things that the women are up to. And so I'd like us to go to Revelations 3. You want to look that up, verses 20 through 23. Okay, listen. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have dinner with him, and he with me. The victor, I will give him the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also won the victory and sat down with my Father on his throne. Anyone who has ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the churches. The Spirit is speaking to us. The Spirit is speaking to Trinity. We need to open our ears, open all of our spiritual senses to receive what the Spirit is doing here. Okay, and let's go to Luke 14 about the parable. So it has something to do with sitting down, inviting. It has something to do with table, right? All right, it's a parable of the large banquet in Luke 14. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. He also said to the one who had invited him, when you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back and you would be repaid. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame, or blind. Okay, I want to go back to that table if you could, Gabe. Okay, one result of this conference was the birth of a new ministry called the Table of Grace. So this was in November. I was away for Thanksgiving, and I'm always very homesick if I have to be away at Thanksgiving. I love to cook. I love to prepare lavishly for my family. And it was going to be a hard Thanksgiving. And so the people that give me hospitality, give me a place to stay, knew that. And they said, well, tell us, what is this custom in the United States of Thanksgiving? So I began to share with them the history of Thanksgiving and of gratitude and of welcoming the foreigner, welcoming the stranger, the pilgrims. So that whole story I began to share with them. And then came the idea, which of course wasn't mine, it was the Holy Spirit, I'm going to fix you all a Thanksgiving dinner. And so this is a very poor village. I really had to look for some semblance of similarity of ingredients. And two doors down, they killed a big chicken for me. I couldn't find a turkey, but I stuffed that chicken, and I tried to find as best I could all the holiday things. But I cooked in this little kitchen for two solid days. Pies, just the best. I just wanted to be lavish with this. And then came the idea, okay, let's invite some other people to this. I said, all right, set some tables. And so the women had embroidered these cloths that they put their tortillas in. They set it out in this beautiful table. And I said, okay, and let's buy fresh flowers from the open market. Let's make it a beautiful place. Okay, and we all did that. And I said, okay, let's invite people from the street. Let's invite people we don't even know. Let's invite them. And so we filled the table. It's just like in the banquet. They went out and they filled. You know, nobody wanted to come because we've got our excuses. We filled that table. Because I wanted a way of visually, tactily, even through the sense of taste and see God's goodness. I wanted them to get it. These were people that maybe didn't deserve to come to this Thanksgiving dinner. Maybe people felt, well, I'm poorly dressed. But they came, and they could, why me? Why did you invite me? It was just the closest thing I could think of to show what God's goodness is, what God's grace is. And so we called it the Table of Grace. 14 people were invited. They tasted my stuffed chicken with dressing and my sweet potatoes and all the traditional things on the table. And they heard about God's goodness, about God's open invitation to come to sit at the table. And of the 14, and this wasn't even pushing, of the 14, 12 accepted Jesus that day with this Thanksgiving dinner. Now, since then, this has kind of gone viral. Other places, other villages have set up tables of grace to show so we can remember, because we need those visible symbols to remember. And so I thank God. I thank God for that, this new ministry. Okay, so we are to be tables of grace. Okay, this isn't just a ministry in Mexico that I'm inviting you to. We need each of us to be more like tables of grace in our homes, in our workplaces, because it's a powerful way of bringing the word of salvation. It's powerful. When people can see and touch. And so, just by some kind gesture to a coworker, just by forgiving somebody that doesn't deserve to be forgiven, you are being a table of grace. And I also invite you that you open up your homes more, open up your work sites more, invite people that you wouldn't think to invite. Okay, so, there's even a song by Matthew West, if you remember some of the words to that, called Broken Things. And so it says, grace is a kingdom with gates open wide. There's a seat at the table, so come on inside. So my invitation today is, first of all, to help each other, one another, remember. Help remember. And I'm asking that you be a table of grace. So thank you.
What a great opportunity that we have as a body of believers to not only encourage, but actually become an active part of global ministry. You know, you don't necessarily have to physically be where Sonata travels, but nonetheless, we are still an active role in that ministry. And be it through financial support, be it through the support of prayer, but also, as she started with, the support of bringing to remembrance. One of the greatest things that Jesus taught his disciples was that when the Holy Spirit was to come, that one of the things he would do would be to remind them of the things that Jesus had taught them. And so it's not that you and I take the place of the Holy Spirit, but we come alongside of the work of God. And we become more than just people who attend a church service together, people who just, you know, come in and have acquaintances one with another and maybe share a little bit of how your week's been or whatnot, but to hopefully really begin to see the body of Christ doing what the body is designed to do. You know, I am so thankful that my body works in unison. So in other words, if I step on something hot in my bare feet, my whole body works to get my foot off of that as quickly as possible. Amen? The body works together. And that's exactly the picture that Scripture teaches us that we are to be. It's to be encouragers one for another, but also to stir. Peter talked about it, Paul talked about it. To be able to stir us up in a way that we can remember that God is good. You see, too often we get sidetracked in all the materialistic things because we live in the materialistic world. Those of you that are 80 prodigies, you know, the first thing come to your mind is probably, you know, Madonna, material girl. How many of you thought that? I'm the only one that thought that, right? No, there's a couple back there. Thank you. I'm not alone. But oftentimes that's where we go. We always look for the material side of things. You understand? God isn't material. God controls all things. Meaning, he does whatever he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and when he wants to do it. You see, not recapping, but it's just, we need to be able to see the bigger picture. Sonata was worried about, how am I going to pay for this? This is all I've got. And you and I, we would have been praying constantly, God, we need money, we need money, we need money. When God really, he said, I am in control. And he did it in a completely different way. That's who my God is. You see, when we get stuck on the materialistic things, we actually limit God. That's what we do. Because we already established, God, this is what I want. Well, how about asking God what he wants? Father, you are, if I'm really going to believe, you know, we sing these songs and we talk about it, but if I'm really going to believe that you're a good, good father, then why do I even care about anything? I just need to trust in you and let you work the way you want to work, and I'm going to believe you're going to do what you want to do. Because truly, his ways are higher than ours. I don't want to limit God. I don't want to say, this is what I need, when God's saying, no, this is what you need. And so I am so thankful that that we have a great opportunity to not only be encouragers, but to take active role in worldwide ministry. What a great opportunity that is. Now, just as we have the opportunity and we have a person that goes on behalf of not only Christ, but on behalf of the local church, she is not the only missionary that is in this building. If you're physically here this morning, raise your hand, will you? You see all the missionaries that are here? You see, we have a great mission field outside of the doors of this building. And it's a hard one because you know most of the people that are out there. It's a hard one because some of those people are your family members, your close friends. It's a hard one because some of those are your coworkers, your peers. And remember, we spoke about a week ago, I think it was, Paul teaching us, do not be ashamed of the Word of God. And so we have a great mission field right here in our little town. Let's make sure we take an active role in that. Let's pray together. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you, God, that we were able to not only to hear, but to receive the good work that you're doing in that Mexico area, Father, how that your goodness is being exhibited. And Father, we thank you that we even have a role to play in watching you work. And so, Father, may we never take for granted those things which you accomplish. Father, may we just revel in the realization of who you are. And God, I'm going to go ahead and confess this right now, because I believe that if we're going to be good good members of the body, we need to be stirred up. Here's what I'm confessing this morning. As Sonata spoke, when she talked about the young girl who was healed, we clapped. When Sonata spoke and talked about how, God, that you moved this hotel owner, manager to slash the bill, we clapped, we rejoiced. When we heard the words come forth across her lips that 12 people gave their life to Christ, complete and utter silence. Lord, forgive us. We should have been jumping from the top of our seats to hear that a heart was transformed. But you see, God, that's what I'm praying for you to awaken within us, because we were still looking at the materialistic side of things. The greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation. And when someone receives that gift of salvation, God, we should be rejoicing. Your word tells us that the very angels of heaven are rejoicing. And we remain silent. God, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive me. Open our eyes, open our ears, and open our heart. Thank you, God, for moving, even when we don't. We give you praise this morning in Christ's name. Amen. We continue.